Well, let's stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn in the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. All right, look there at verse 9. Verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. The book of Chronicles begins with 9 chapters of chronologies, family information, and historical data, beginning with Adam and bringing that family history all the way down to King David. Although these chapters are certainly inspired by the Spirit of God and thus profitable for us, many Christians look upon them as a flyover zone in the Bible, and skip over. Usually many Bible readers will start at chapter 1 and skip over to chapter 9 or 10, which records the death of Saul and the beginning of David's kingdom. Yet tucked away in the middle of this flyover zone of who begat who are two verses about a man nowhere else mentioned in the Bible and a prayer that he prayed that God answered. Now, I'm confident that God answered many prayers throughout history that were not recorded. And yet God chose to put this prayer, this man's prayer, in the Scriptures for us. Now, years ago, someone wrote a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Bruce Wilkerson wrote it. And it became very popular, I believe, back in the late 90s. I know in another millennium, right? And back then, there were a lot of keychains that had the prayer of Jabez on them, bumper stickers. And I sincerely believe Wilkerson probably made more money off Jabez's prayer than Jabez did on that little booklet. And the basic principle of that little booklet was that you ought to just pray word for word the prayer of Jabez every day for a month, and God would bless you. It was basically a prosperity gospel type message. And my problem with that is Jesus told us not to pray with vain repetition. We don't pray Hail Marys, we don't pray Glory Bees, and we don't pray the prayer of Jabez with vain repetition as though we're going through some magical incantation that's going to bring God's blessings upon us. However, God saw it fit to include this man in his request and God's answer in the Scriptures. And so tonight we're going to look at the granted request of Jabez. Now, Jabez is somewhat mysterious. Chapter 4 gives us the chronology of the tribe of Judah, the family of King David. Yet Jabez's father is not mentioned, at least his exact lineage. There's not a verse that says that Jabez was begotten by someone. He's not listed in anyone's specific chronology. It's as though God just dropped him into this chapter, which tells us he probably was in the family of Judah, and yet God tells us nothing else about his family except that he had a mother. His mother named him. I think everyone had a mother, though, so that doesn't help us a whole lot. And he had brethren. He was more honorable than his brethren, and he had a father who's not named in the Scriptures. Now, for those of you that are Hebrew linguists, you'd be interested to know that Jabez in Hebrew would be pronounced Jabez, but we're good old Anglo-Saxons, so we'll stick with Jabez. And his name means sorrowful, because his mother said, "I bear him with sorrow." There was some distinct sadness that was attached to Jabez's birth, so that his mother named him such. Can you imagine being the new kid on the block, or being the new kid in school, or a new class, and going in and in the playground? You know, some kid whose name means happy says, "What's your name?" "I'm sorrowful." "Why are you sorrowful?" "Because my mother bare me with sorrow." And that kind of hung over his life from his childhood. And yet he was able to overcome that and really become a very prosperous person. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Despite his name, he was more respected, more influential, and possibly wealthier than any of his brethren. Now, I believe that God answered his request because he was more honorable. He was the kind of man who could pray and get an answer. And I do believe that we ought to take heed to the fact that God doesn't just throw his blessings around to whoever says or recites a prayer. The most important thing I believe about Jabez was his character. He was more honorable than all of his brethren. And that more honorable man, when he went to pray to God, got his prayer answered. Folks, it does matter how you live when it comes time to pray. And because he was more honorable, God blessed him. You know, many of God's blessings are contingent on our behavior. Blessed is the man, period. No, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you want God's blessings and you want to be happy as a Christian, don't sit in the most uncomfortable seat in the church. That's the seat of the scorner. That's the person that sits there and just criticizes everything happening in the church. That church is too small. You're too this. You're too that. And the sermon's too long. The sermon's too short. The sermon's too loud. And sit there criticizing everything. If you want to be blessed, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't stand in the way of sinners. And don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And God said you'll be blessed. So many of God's greatest blessings are absolutely contingent on my behavior. Listen, too many Christians, just like that prayer of Jabez keychain or bumper sticker, they want God to bless their mess. Here's my mess, bless. They have no intention of changing their character. They have no intention of changing their ways. They have no intention of living righteously. They have their ways and their plans and their doings, and they want to reach up and grab God like some kind of giant rabbit foot to put in their pocket and get some kind of blessing upon what they're doing, but they're not interested in being the kind of Christian that God can bless. Here's my mess, bless. No, that's not how it works. Now, God can get us out of a mess, but usually that requires us changing some things and fixing some things on our own too. People don't want to hear that these days, and that's why you got the government that you got. We never want to do everything for us instead of taking some responsibility for our actions. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and God honored that with a granted request. Notice that he made his prayer to the God of Israel. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now, let me say this about prayer. Many Christians do not pray. We wish, we hope, we want, we talk about it with our brethren, but we don't pray. But Jabez got to a point where he didn't just want to talk about it to others. He didn't just say, you know, I'd like to have a bigger coast and I'd like to be blessed and I'd like God's hand upon me. So often that's as far as we go. We want these things, but we don't actually call on God. We don't stop and actually make it a matter of prayer. Now, folks, listen. Getting around each other and saying, boy, I wish I could get a better job is not prayer. It's not prayer. That'd be like if you're in the back of the room talking, if Randy and Brother Parks are talking about something, Randy says, well, I wish Pastor would give me something, and they never ask me, he's not going to get it. Now, of course, the difference is God knows everything, but God tells us that unless we bring our requests, we're not making our requests known to God. So we have to spend time in prayer. Jabez spent time, he called upon the Lord and asked him for this matter. Notice that it was a fervent request from the heart. Notice that it ends with an exclamation point. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. It was a fervent prayer from the heart. Now, I want you to notice four parts of the granted request of Jabez. Notice first that Jabez requested be blessed indeed. He said that thou wouldest bless me. Now, was that a selfish request? Is it wrong for an individual believer to desire God's blessing on himself or herself? Is that selfish? Well, it depends. You know, God uses the word bless in some form about 400 times in the Bible. Over and over again, He repeats it as a promise to the Christian who will obey His word. And so over and over again, God promises us blessing. Therefore, it must not be wrong for me to desire His blessing. Is that right? It's logical, isn't it? So it's not selfish for me to desire His blessings unless I merely want to hoard them for myself. But if I desire to be a channel of blessings to others, then it's no longer selfish. Now, I do believe that people often have the wrong priorities when they ask for God's blessing. Well, I'm praying that God will help us to win the football game. Can I tell you something, folks? God runs the universe. I don't think God cares who wins a football game. I really don't. I'm going to pray that God will help me to win the basketball game. I don't think God is in the business of rigging sporting events. And I wish more of our student athletes were here tonight to understand that. I'll do these things because I want God to help me to make more points on Sunday. How about I want God to bless me so I can win souls to Christ? You think God might be more interested in that? If you want to win a sporting game, you've got to be the better player. And that means you've got to practice harder and you've got to play smarter. Don't expect God to choose sides in a sporting event. He doesn't do it. Well, I play video games and I found this extra level. Boy, God really blessed me in my video game. You really think God cares about our video games? You think God rigs our video game for us? And yet I hear people say things like that. And it really shows our priorities. Our priorities are so earthly and so non-heavenly, that's a word, that we think that God really cares about all the silly stuff that is so important to us and really is not on God's agenda. Well, so often we equate material things with God's blessings. Here's some athlete, he's on drugs, he's shooting up with steroids, he's a womanizer and a drunk, and then he scores a touchdown on Sunday and says, look how God blessed me, I got all this stuff. I don't think that's the kind of prayer that Jabez was praying. Many others are like the Roman Catholic who wants the priest to bless his business or his dog or his car. My grandmother turns 90, has a birthday coming up, we're going to go out for a surprise birthday party, but we don't want to surprise her too much at 90. It better be kind of a low-key surprise, I'll tell you that. And she got a new car. Why? I don't know. She can't even see. She shouldn't even be driving, but she went and got a new car. And she left the dealer's parking lot and drove to the Catholic Church in Weatherford so the priest could come out and bless her car. Like the priest has magical powers, like he's God disposing blessings. That is not the kind of blessings that Jabez was looking for. I do believe that God wants to bless Christians who have His kingdom as their priority. I do believe that God wants to bless churches and families and soul winning and our children and I do believe God blesses tithing and giving. Jabez sought God's blessings at some point in his life. Now, the Bible does not tell us when he prayed this prayer. He might have been a young man with his whole life ahead of him. Maybe he was getting ready for college or just out of college, wasn't married yet, and he said, I got my life ahead of me and I really want God's blessings on my life. When I was a young man, I mean 18, 19, 20 years old, I wanted God's blessings. So I mean, I spent days fasting and praying. I wanted God's blessings on my marriage and on my early ministry. Sought God. Oh, we think we're going to get God's blessings just because we're who we are. You've got to seek them out. You have not because you ask not. You've got to look for God's blessings. And every young person, even you guys on the front row and the girls, you say, I'm just a junior age kid. So what? Be a blessed junior age kid. Seek out God and get God's blessings upon your life when you're a child and when you're a teenager and when you're a young adult. Maybe he was a little bit older. Maybe he was newly married. Well, that's a good time to seek God's blessings. Maybe he had his first child. I know that when my first one came along, it was a real, like instant maturity. I was already pretty mature. I got to say that. But I tell you, when my first child came along and I realized I was a dad, boy, I got a lot more serious even than I'd been before. And I realized the responsibility that we had. Oh, how I sought God's blessings upon my family and upon my children. How I wanted God to bless my family. Maybe Jabez had some teenagers. That's a good time to seek God's blessing also. Or maybe he and Mrs. Jabez, their kids were grown and gone. Maybe they never had any children. Maybe he was a middle-aged man and decided to draw close to God and seek God's blessings. We don't know. Maybe he was an older man. And at the end of his life, yet he knew that he wanted God's blessing, still wanted to do something for God. We don't know when he prayed this prayer. We just know that God answered, God granted his request, and God blessed him. You know, folks, any time is a good time to pray for God's blessing. Not so you can be selfish and keep it for yourself, but you know, As a Christian, as a preacher, as a preacher for myself, there's a lot of people in my life that need me to be blessed. And parents, your children need you to be blessed. And Sunday school teacher, your kids need you to be blessed. Notice that he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." He said, what does that mean? I think it means that he wanted his blessing to be so obvious that everyone would know that it was God's blessing and not his own doing. I look back over my life and I just thank God for all of his blessings in my life, because I promise you, when I was 17 and God called me to preach, I could not have foreseen the blessings God has given me in my family and in my church. And I don't mean that I'm, you know, the blessings that some see, but I'll tell you something. I see a lot of blessings in my life that I know had to have come from the hand of God. And I wanted to see God's blessings indeed. And you ought to desire to have a life that is so blessed that even your unsaved in-laws or your unsaved relatives or your neighbors and your co-workers have to look at your life and say, I don't believe anything he believes, but I have to admit there's something about his life. There's some blessing there in his life. At least they can't sit back and say, well, you know, that there, I don't see anything from God in your life. And before we move on, we should understand that God's greatest blessings are almost always contingent on our behavior. Matthew 6:33, to reemphasize what I mentioned earlier, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christians today, they want all these things added, but they don't want to seek first the kingdom of God. In Luke 11, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. We want it given, but we don't want to ask. Seek and you shall find. We want to find it without seeking it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We want all the doors open before we even knock on them. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. We want the barns filled with plenty. But when God gives us a harvest, we withhold the tithe, the first fruits of the increase. Malachi 3:10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then he said, and prove me now, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And we want all those blessings. We want the windows of heaven opened, the blessings poured down, the devourer rebuked out of our lives. All of those blessings we want, but we don't want to bring in the tithes and offerings. And so God says, yeah, you're right. I mean, I put that in the Bible, but you know, I had to fill in some extra words. But you know, you're a special exception. I'm going to make a special exception just for you. No, it's not how it works. If you want God's blessings, you want the windows of heaven open, you want the devour rebuke for your sake, so, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. Better to give up your cell phone and tithe. That's why in the offerings coming down the aisle, I realized I didn't have my envelope filled up. I had to jump down there, fill up my envelope, drop that in there. Because I want to tithe. I want to make sure that I'm blessed. I don't want God to withhold His blessings because I'm withholding what is His. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. That's what we want. I want people to give to me, and I want to get all these, I hear about other folks getting free stuff, and I want that kind of thing, but we never give. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, thou shalt find it after many days. And so we go out to the little lake of our lives, and we say, where's the bread? I'm expecting thy ship to come in, where's the bread? But we never cast anything out. Galatians 6, my life verse, life passage, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to reap spiritual things? Sow spiritual things. And so often we want God's blessings, but we're not willing to meet the requirements. Good luck. You're going to need luck. If there is luck, and I don't believe in luck, except Andrew Luck. He's on my fantasy football team. Now you say, preacher, why do you say things like that? To pull in certain people back into the sermon. All right, number two. All right, this sermon will not be online just because of that one line. All right, number two. Jabez requested a bigger coast. Notice in verse 10, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. Now is Jabez praying for a beachfront property? Now this will help you as you read through the Old Testament. When the Bible refers to the coast, it refers to the boundaries. Didn't necessarily have to have a beach on it. The coasts of Galilee, the coasts of Judea, that meant the borders of the land. And Jabez was praying for God to enlarge his coast or enlarge his boundaries or enlarge his borders. In doing so, this would enlarge Jabez's territory or area of responsibility. Now, we don't know exactly what Jabez was praying for, but I think we can make a good spiritual application. If you have a business that honors God and you honor God with your time, talents, tithes, and treasure, you can pray for a bigger coast. Because God knows if He gives it to you, you'll honor Him with what you have. If I was a Christian businessman, I would work as hard, I would work harder than my unsaved counterparts. But I would put God first in everything. I wouldn't let it interfere with Sunday. I wouldn't let it interfere with church. I wouldn't let it, if at all possible, I wouldn't let it interfere with anything. And I'd honor God with the 10% of my profit. And I wouldn't monkey the numbers to cut God out of it either. If you want God to bless your business and enlarge your coast, make sure that you're honoring Him with what you already have. Now, I look at it as a pastor and look at it as a church and I think, you know, our church could have much further boundaries. Boy, there's so many people in our area. There are hundreds of thousands of people within a few miles of our church. And yes, there are many hindrances and obstacles, but there's no reason we can't pray that God will increase our coasts and enlarge our influence in this great area. Number three, notice that Jabez requested God's hand to be with him. He said, enlarge my coast and that thine hand might be with me. When I think of the hand of God, I think of power. 1 Kings 18, it says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab. In Ezra 7, it says, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Ezekiel 3, the hand of the Lord was there upon me. It was said of John the Baptist, the hand of the Lord was with him. In Acts 11, it says, the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number believed. When old-timey preachers would preach and God would bless, they would say that the hand of God was on them. Oh, how we need the powerful hand of God upon us. When I think of the hand of God, I think of preservation. In Psalm 44, it says, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand. God preserved Israel by driving the heathen out before them with His hand. In Psalm 17, O thou that savest by thy right hand. Psalm 18, thy right hand hath holden me up. Preservation. When Peter stepped out in the water and began to sink, Jesus stretched forth his hand and saved him. He said, oh, I want your hand upon me, the hand of preservation. When I think of the hand of God, I think of provision. In Ezra 7:6, when Ezra wanted to return back to beautify the temple in Jerusalem, it says the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. But folks, the economy, I don't know what to think of the economy. I don't know if it's ever going to be better or bounce back to the heights that it once had been. I'll tell you something, God's not any poorer today than he was in 2000. And you know what? You better be on God's side in this day and time. Because no matter what takes place in life, and there may be some lean times for me, there may be some lean times for you, but we must not forget the hand of God is what provides for us. And when I think of the hand, when he said that thy hand might be with me, I believe he was thinking of provision. When I think of the hand of God, I think of providence, God's providential leadership. Psalm 139, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Folks, I want God's hand upon my life leading me. When my children were small, of course, everywhere we went, we led them by our hand. Sometimes even now, and I've got it, we're someplace and I've got to put my hand on Joe's shoulder or something to turn him around or move him out of the way or knock him down and kick him around. And I put my hand upon him. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says, I lead thee with my eye. And sometimes across the room, I can give my kids a look and they know to stop or whatever. Or to come here or something. But I want God's hand upon me. I need his leadership. You know, folks, there's no real roadmap in life that says, all right, go up here. You can't punch it into Siri and she says, all right, you know, now take a right and do this. It's not how life is. It's all by faith. You know, as we're getting ready to start this new church and with Brother Anderson here, you know, I enjoy thinking about and about church planting. I enjoy it. It's just something that I've done. It's a lot easier to go back and know what I've already done. Sometimes now, I'm not always sure what to do. You know what I need? I need God's hand upon me. I need his leadership. When it's dark and I can't see like I usually can see, I need his hand to guide me. When I don't know the answers, when I don't know the solutions, when I am facing something I've not faced before and I don't know what to do, I need his hand to guide me. And so Jabez prayed, oh, that thy right hand be with me, that thy hand would be with me. And then he said, number four, Jabez requested protection from evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, folks, certainly there's no shortage of evil in this world. The fact is that evil is now more out in the open than it's ever been in our country's history, at least. It would not hurt us to pray that God would protect us from evil. Our children, before they were born, I have been praying through a list of things for them since before they were born. One thing is a protection and for their health. I do not want to one day, when my wife is 51, all of a sudden the doctor says, you have cancer. And for me to say, wow, for 30 years I've been her husband and I've never prayed God would protect her from cancer. I'm not trying to be unkind. But good night. Why don't we pray? Why don't we pray that God would bless health? I've prayed for my wife. Her family has a lot of health issues. Lupus, MS, all kinds of problems. And I pray for my wife every day that God would spare her from those diseases. And my children would be spared from cancer and those kinds of diseases. Why don't we pray? And again, I'm not saying that if someone gets cancer it's because no one prayed for them. It may be that I'll pray and God still allows things. But I determined when I was a young husband that I would pray for my family's health. My daughter starts driving and I see all these idiots on the road. I'm driving down the road and I look over and some guy has got his iPad in his hands and driving with his knee, going 60 miles an hour down the highway, or some woman's got a dog wrapped around her neck. She's driving, she's got a poodle around her neck, she's got a German shepherd sitting in her lap and a ferret in her pocket or something. Fools. And you know, you got to protect, pray for your family. It's going to get cold soon. You won't send your kids out in the cold without a jacket on, but how often do we send them out without praying for them? I don't claim to be a great prayer warrior. I don't claim to be a great anything. But I do know that I have prayed for my family. And you need to pray that God will protect your family from evil. Evil influences. Now, because I pray that God will keep them from evil influences, I keep them from evil influences. I'm not going to send them into the lion's den and pray that the lions don't eat them. I'm going to keep them out of the lion's den. Have you prayed? I mean, good night. There are people that want to break into your home. There's people that want to shoot you in the street. There's people that want to steal your stuff. There's people that want to do things I'm not even going to mention. Have we prayed that God would keep us from evil? And have we prayed for each other as we face temptation to commit evil? Jesus taught us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he said that it may not grieve me. There's two great regrets in life. What I did, but I wish I had not. And what I didn't do, but I wish that I had. Pray that God will keep us from evil. Protection from disease. Protection from evil people. Protection during tough times. Protection from bad influences. Protection from the snares of sin. When bad things happen, we trust God, but there's nothing wrong with praying that such things will not happen. Jabez prayed it, and God granted him that which he asked. And then when God was writing one of the most boring passages of the Bible, don't tell me you sit there every day and you read, Azariah begat Amariah, and Amariah begat Ahitub, and Ahitub begat Zadok. And Zadok begat Shalom, and Shalom begat Hilkiah, and Hilkiah begat Ezer. Right. And then God just drops two verses in there about a guy named Jabez who prayed a prayer. And God granted it. And he put it in there for a reason. And it's not so we can make bumper stickers and bracelets and repeat a prayer verbatim. He teaches us that he does answer prayer, and we ought to pray like Jabez did.